This morning sharing, I have titled it Second Chance. Second Chance. There's a story told of two brothers, both convicted for stealing sheep, who were then afterwards branded on their forehead with the letters ST to indicate sheep thief. Well, that's a bit drastic, but apparently that's what happened. One brother couldn't bear the stigma. He became bitter and moved away, never to return. The other brother chose a different course. He said, "I can't run away from what I did, so I will stay here and win back the respect of my neighbors." As the year passed, he built a solid reputation for integrity. One day, a stranger saw him, now an old man, with the letter still on his forehead. He asked one of the townspeople, "What does that mean?" And the villager said, "Well, it happened a long time ago. I have forgotten the particulars, but I think the letters are an abbreviation for saints." The gospel of God changed people's lives. Your lives, my lives. Everyone who believe in Jesus are changed and saved. Now, as Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Now, this verse states what today's story found in Philemon and Onesimus. God changes every person whom he encounters and saves through the grace found in the gospel, through God's mercy and forgiveness. Reconciling relationship is a big deal to God. And that's why he came incarnated in the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, in order to reconcile people and God once again. Now, the main characters found in this very short pastoral letter by Paul are two characters particularly, one by the name of Philemon, which is the name of the book, the main recipient of the letter, a wealthy man from Colossae, led to Christ by Paul himself. Then there is another character of the name Onesimus, a fugitive slave who had stolen from his master and run away, committed a capital offense in those days. What may we learn from this short letter? Three things, I believe, that we can draw out of this we have heard a bit today. First, be a friend. Be a friend to others. In verse 1, it says, "To Philemon, our dear friend." And then verse 7, so if you consider me as a partner, be a friend to someone. Be a partner to somebody. A friend knows all about us and loves us anyway. A friend steps in when the whole world may choose to step out. Someone gave this definition. Friendship is knowing there will always be someone around to lift you up when all others let you down. Philemon had been a friend to Paul. And Paul asked Philemon to be a friend to Onesimus, in fact, more than a friend, asking him to take him back as a brother. A brother. Now, Paul said, I could have made you to do it. But yet Paul appealed to Philemon as a friend, appealed to his understanding and to take back this fugitive slave. A friend will come alongside us to encourage us, to give us advice, to help us to stand up again. Be a friend. We can all be a friend to someone else. The second thing I believe this letter encourages us to do is to be a forgiver. Be a forgiver. We human beings have great ability to do many things, but one of the things we do very well often is recall old injustices, dredge up the past, and open up old wounds. We tend to be unforgiving and unforgetting. One would think that we as Christians would be better and do differently, maybe kinder and gentler, but often that may not be the case. People have wounded hearts need a second chance to be forgiven. The gospel is the good news of second chance, to start over, to grant a new beginning. Now, Paul is requesting Philemon to grant Onesimus a second chance. A second chance. And he said that, I am sending him, Onesimus, a part of himself, because he has been with Paul, back to you, to Philemon. Accept him as you would me. There's a story about someone by the name of Roy Riggles. He played American football. Back in 1929, in one of the big games, the Rose Bowl, one of the biggest, he was picked to play. And during the game, the first half, he was tackled and he fumbled and he got up and quickly grabbed the ball, and while he was tackled, he got spun around, and without looking, he grabbed the ball and he started running in one direction. And lo and behold, he was running the wrong direction. He was heading to his own in goal and try lines. Just as well, one of his own teammates tackled him and stopped him from scoring for the opposition. You can imagine how he felt. So, at halftime, they went back to the locker's room, and you know how it is, usually the coach would say a lot of things during halftime. Well, this time, the coach didn't say much at all. And for Roy, he simply just sat down in a corner, trying to deal with what could have, might have happened, and what an embarrassment he has caused for himself and for the team. Well, when the time comes to go back to the second half, the coach say, those who started the game at the beginning, go back out there again. And that includes Roy. Everybody filed out the locker room. And then Roy was still sitting on the ground in the corner. And the coach said to him, why aren't you going out? And Roy said to the coach, I can't. I make such a fool of myself and I can't face people out there. I can't face you. I make embarrassment to the school and the university and so on. But the coach said to him, didn't you hear me what I said? The team, the same players who went out in the beginning, used to go out there again for the second half. And that means you. So Roy went out there. And afterwards, at the game, I have no idea whether they won the game or not, but it does not matter. But the commentators and others say that they have never seen Roy play so hard in the second half of the game. He gave everything, everything to the game. The coach gave Roy a second chance. He could have taken him out and say, what a such an embarrassment to the team. But he had faith in Roy, and he gave Roy the second chance. Now, that's what I believe is what Paul is saying here in this letter, to be a forgiver, to be a forgiver. What does a forgiver do? A forgiver releases the sin, the wrongs. Forgiveness means to cancel a debt in order to allow the other person to get on with life. Jesus did that for you and I. He took our sins, he forgave us, and so we can get on with life. And if Jesus has done that for us, we too need to be a forgiver, to give the second chance to someone else. So we talked about being a friend and being a forgiver. And the third part, I believe this letter says to me, is to be a future giver. To be a future giver. Now, don't know whether you remember Christer McAuliffe, the high school teacher who was chosen to be the astronaut to go on to the shuttle Challenger, but it exploded in midair and she died. Apparently, she adopted as a teacher this motto, I touch the future, I teach. I touch the future, I teach. That maxim also fit anyone who may have the ability and opportunity to impact someone else's future. You may be a teacher by trade. You may be a parent, an uncle or auntie, or a caregiver or a friend. You can be that future giver to bring reconciliation and healing to a broken heart, a wounded heart, to give them hope to the future. We touch the future by giving them a hope that there is a new tomorrow. We restore their dignity by acknowledging that they are special and important in God's sight and in our sight as well. Now, Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, appealing for his acceptance and forgiveness towards Onesimus. Philemon had Onesimus' future in his hand. He could simply do what was expected as a master of a slave and provide capital punishment. Or he could listen to Paul's appeal and to accept Onesimus back as a friend as well as a brother. As a fellow believer, he could be a future giver of Onesimus. What would you do if you are in the position of Philemon? Well, it's interesting to note that the name Onesimus means useful. Useful. And Paul play on this word, this name, by saying in verse 11, once he was useless to you, but now he is useful to both you and me. Paul knew that Onesimus had a great future ahead of him, even though he was a slave. But that future is highly dependent on the action of the master of Philemon. What did Philemon do? Well, there's no postscript of this letter. We don't know exactly what he did. However, a church father named Ignatius, writing 50 years later, in a letter to the Ephesians, addressed their wonderful bishop by the name of Onesimus. There is possibility that this Onesimus is the same person. What do we know about the needs of friends who are around us? Can we be also a future giver to those who are around us? Give people a second chance. Give people a new future. While I was serving in Singapore, every year there is this yellow ribbon campaign. I'm sure you know of the very popular tune, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. Hey, you know that song? Very popular, very catchy and so on. Well, in Singapore, churches and others will come together and we have this yellow ribbon campaign. It is to give ex-convicts a second chance by placing them in jobs and reaching out to them and so on. You know, the little yellow pink ribbon and the yellow ribbon. That's what we do in Singapore, is to give those people who need a second chance, who need a second chance. For many people hurting out there, we may be, you and I, may be the person who can help them to turn their life around, and offering them friendship, forgiveness, and a hope-filled future. Onesimus, from useless to useful. And I believe this letter challenges us doing the three things that I have mentioned. First, to be a friend to someone that needs help, understanding, and encouragement. Then, to be a forgiver. Not easy to be a forgiver, but we can try and we can do what we can. And the third one, of course, is to be a future giver. To lift people up from the wooden hearts, to give them hope, to give them joy, to give them encouragement, so that there is a future and a better future ahead. And this, I believe, is what this letter encourages us to do. Amen.